Well, it's the day you've been waiting for, our second ever cessationist call-in day. I'm waiting for your best arguments as to why the New Testament charismatic gifts do not continue till today. Let's talk.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, look, I want to give you another opportunity. We did a cessationist call-in day some weeks back. We've done pre-trib rapture call-in day, Calvinist call-in day, opportunities for you to call in and explain why you hold to certain views that I don't hold to. But when we did our first ever cessationist call-in day, when I simply asked, give me scripture that backs the view that the charismatic gifts of the New Testament, tongues, healing, prophecy, are not for today. Give me scriptural reasons. We got virtually no good calls last time around. So I want to give you another opportunity, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Now, please don't call if you have a miracle testimony, or you've been healed or touched by God. That's wonderful. We rejoice with you, but we're not asking for that testimony. Please don't call with an argument as to why the gifts continue. I'll be sharing those things along the way as we have time. If I don't get enough solid calls with arguments for cessationism, then I'll use more of the time to present the argument from Scripture for the continuation of the gifts of the Spirit for today. Again, the question is, what does Scripture say? Not what does my experience teach, but what does Scripture say? And we'll dialogue about it. The better case you could make, the better dialogue we'll have. And I'll be frank with you. Obviously, based on Scripture, I'm convinced that the gifts of the Spirit continue for this day, that there's not a syllable in the New Testament to say they have stopped. On the contrary, there is the entire testimony of the New Testament to say they will continue until Jesus returns. And it's my personal conviction that if a new believer was left alone with the Bible, let's say they could read it fluently in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and they studied the Scriptures on their own, it would never dawn on them not to expect these things for today. Now, let me make a few things perfectly clear. Some of the godliest people I know in the world are cessationists. Some of my good friends and colleagues in different ministry schools or different ministries in America and other parts of the world are cessationists. And we love Jesus and we work together for the advancing of the kingdom of God. And there are godly people who love the Lord, who are devoted to Him, who are people of faith, and yet they are sick. So we're not making value judgments based on this, nor are we supporting some charlatan TV preacher raising funds in some carnal way to get rich off the gospel? We're not justifying their carnality or their sin because we're saying the gifts continue for today. We're just saying, what does Scripture say? What does Scripture say? Now, here's my request. I'm going to go straight to the phones when we come back. My request is that you, as clearly and concisely as possible, present your argument and start with your best argument. We can dialogue about it. We can go further. Be assured that I will lovingly challenge you on it. So be prepared to back it. If you just want to present it and then hang up because you don't want to debate, that's fine. We'll give you the opportunity to do so. Also, I've got some really neat news for you about my Hyper Grace book and my Authentic Fire book. So I'm going to share that with you shortly as well. Here's the number to call, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. We come back, we are going straight to the phones. Cessationist call-in day. Come on, if you say that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today, tongues, prophecy, healing, are not normative for today, tell me why. Is it in the Bible or not?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We don't believe the gifts of the Spirit, healing, miracles, tongues, prophecy. We don't believe they're normative today. Okay, why? Based on what scripture? 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. I'm eager to hear from the many cessationists who are out there, for the many who say that those who believe in the continuance of the gifts of the Spirit for today are adding to the Bible or not following Scripture. I'm eager to hear from you, to the point that after being very disappointed with the lack of cessationist calls a few weeks ago, I'm giving you another opportunity to present your views on the air. Just real quickly before we go to the phones, tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to be tackling some, well, important things happening in the society, moral, cultural issues. I'll be giving you perspective. I think it'll be real eye-opening. Thursday for Thanksgiving, we'll be replaying the debate between atheist Edward Falzon and Christian apologist Frank Turek and Alex McFarlane. And Friday, I plan to come your way live for Q&A. You've got questions, we've got answers live on Black Friday. So maybe many of you don't get to listen live or call in live. This will be your opportunity. All right, time to hear from my cessationist friends, Patrick in Hernando, Missouri. You are up, or excuse me, Mississippi. You are up first.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
Cool. So this is actually my second time calling your show. First time was with the issue of Calvinism, and really enjoyed that. I should say I'm not as well-versed in cessationism as theology, but still wanted to give it a shot here.
Sure.
Thanks for having me. But So I know that you like to say that, and many in your camp like to say that there's no explicit verse that teaches cessationism. And my argument is we don't need an explicit verse saying that if it can be demonstrated from Scripture that the miracles, the miraculous gifts, had a unique purpose in history, a unique function in history.
Here's my question, Patrick. If I can give you an overwhelming abundance of Scripture saying that the gifts continue until Jesus returns and that they are to be normative, all right, then wouldn't you need explicit Scripture saying something to the contrary of that?
Well, yes, and I mean, you could show me those verses and we could talk about them, but I think I also could show you some verses that do sort of get at this concept, that show that there is a unique and limited function to the miraculous gifts, and I think that can be seen all throughout Scripture. Like, we know the first time, I think, first real time the gifts were given in this way, I mean, you could consider the case of Moses. Like in Exodus 4, God gives him these signs to do, which obviously you're very familiar with, I'm sure.
Right.
But he doesn't give them to Moses, you know, just so that he could have this gift. He attaches to them a specific purpose, and that is that you will demonstrate to the children of Israel that you are bringing a new revelation.
All right, hang on one second, though, just because we don't have time to go through the entire Bible on this.
Yeah.
When we get to the New Testament, all right, let's just take healing and miracles. Take James, Jacob, chapter 5. If there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the congregation. This is in the context of you should pray if you have needs, etc. It's an ongoing passage. In other words, there's nothing there just for first century. If anyone's sick, let him call for the elders of the congregation. Let him lay hands on him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. If he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. The Lord will raise him up. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that tied in with any specific sign, purpose, other than God's goodness being extended to the sick?
Well, there in James, I'm not sure I see any reference to a specific gift of healing. I mean, I know for myself, if I have a sick brother or sister or anybody that's sick, I would certainly feel compelled to pray for them, but I don't expect, like, myself to be able to go heal them.
Well, hang on. But no one said that. So your expectation is that as a norm, we should see miraculous healings taking place as we pray in faith for the sick, according to James 5.
I think it's possible that God can heal. I do not expect miraculous healings to be normative. But it says it there.
It says it there. That's what you're supposed to do. This is the norm.
It says that's what you're supposed to do. But I think you're assuming that a miraculous gift of healing would be in place. I mean,
I didn't mention miraculous gift. I didn't mention miraculous gift.
Well, if you're not,
I simply said that miraculous healings should be the norm. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the congregation. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who's sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. This is what we should expect. So we should be seeing this happen on a regular basis. And it's not tied in with any specific sign or purpose, is it? And it's miraculous healings that it's being spoken of.
No, I have a different take on it, because I think, I mean, we can see, like, in other instances, like Paul recommends to Timothy that he take a little wine to help his stomach, or he prays.
Right, don't just drink water, but also wine was used medicinally. No argument with that. I've got nothing against doctors and water. But hang on, you're missing the whole point here. This is not tied in with any specific sign. This is just one verse. I'm going to give you scores in a minute. But this is not tied in with any specific sign. It's simply the fact that God established this as a covenant with Israel. Exodus 15:26, Exodus 23:25-26, Deuteronomy 7:14-15. It was to be the ongoing norm in ancient Israel. If the nation obeyed God, that God would take sickness out of their midst. Now with a new and better covenant, we have better promises, including promises for healing. So since that was one of the great signs Jesus performed, healing the sick, and he did it for many reasons, which I'll gladly get into in a moment, here we have a specific promise about healing. So just based on this text, really simply, let's read it again. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the congregation. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the one who's sick or make the sick person whole. The Lord will raise him up. This should be our expectation. So on a regular basis, we should be praying for the sick and seeing the Lord perform miracles.
Yeah, well, I don't think it would exclude the idea of, you know, the normal means of helping someone who's sick, like medicine. I mean, would you agree with that?
It's not either or, but what if the person has an incurable disease? Bear in mind that speaking of the Lord raising this person up, they're apparently bedridden. The elders have to come to that person. But I just want you to agree on two simple things based on the text. Number one, we should expect to see miraculous healings on a regular basis based on this promise, which doesn't say maybe, if, possibly, but simply as we pray in faith, we'll see it. That's number one. And number two, it's not tied in with any specific sign.
Well, I'm not sure that I can agree that I think we should expect it, because I don't know about you, but I don't see it as being normative in the church today. I don't see that.
Well, wait, forget what you see. What does Scripture say? Maybe if we base things on Scripture, we'd see more.
If I'm basing it just on Scripture, I don't see that verse saying that this is going to be like. It's not saying that a miraculous gift of healing is going to.
I didn't say anything about a miraculous gift. You keep bringing that up, Patrick. I didn't say a word about that.
I thought that was the point.
Patrick, you got to try to listen. You got to try to listen, not argue. Patrick, you got to try to listen, not argue. Okay? There's a point I'm making here. All right? There's a simple point I'm making here. All right. Patrick, tell you what. I'm really trying to help you see something here. If you just want to argue, I can't help you, okay? So I'm just going to have you sit back and listen for a minute. You were making a claim about a specific sign. Something had to come as a specific sign. Healings, miracles were specific signs. I just wanted to undo that to simply say that here it doesn't mention any special sign or any special gift. And healings and miracles should be taking place on a normal level. Why? Because it's simply a manifestation of God's goodness, and it's in response to faith. There's nothing in this text here in James, Jacob, the fifth chapter, telling me this is abnormal. Here, let's hear it again. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the congregation. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Hey, is that the norm? Do we even do that? And do we do it with expectation based on what God said here? And if, in fact, God does continue to heal today, then it's obviously not just some type of confirming sign. Now, here's my problem, Patrick, to be candid with you. You're not willing to simply say, okay, I see what the text says there. Let's go on to something else. There's a ton more scripture I'll give you, but you got to listen when we talk, all right? Give it one more shot when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. It is cessationist call-in day. Looking for arguments from cessationists who say the gifts of the Spirit are not normative for today. Healing, miracles, tongues, prophecy, we cannot expect those things today the way they were expected in the New Testament. 866-34-TRUTH. Patrick, let's just try something else, all right?
Yeah.
John,
could I bring some scriptures into the discussion here?
All right. My problem is, though, when you're not willing to accept plain statements in Scripture, that makes it very difficult to have a conversation. But go ahead. Give me a New Testament verse that indicates that the gifts will not continue until the end of the age.
Well, again, what I was trying to get at is that I'm not looking for a verse that says specifically they're going to stop. I'm looking for a verse that tells me they have a specific purpose.
But there are verses, Patrick, you're missing the point. There are verses that say they will continue until the end of the age. Therefore,
okay,
you have to have a verse that says the opposite.
Well, let,
all right,
let me
Paul is explicit in 1 Corinthians 1. He's explicit in 1 Corinthians 1 that the gifts continue until Jesus returns. He's explicit about
sure
it in 1 Corinthians 13. And in Acts, the second chapter, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with prophecy and supernatural gifts is for the last days. That's the period we're in today. We have other verses that are explicit about earnestly seek the gifts, seek prophecy, don't forbid tongues, don't put out the Spirit's fire. So we have many verses like this, including James, Jacob 5. That's why you have to have evidence against it, because you have overwhelming evidence for it.
All right, well, here's my attempt then with the evidence against it.
All right.
So I guess the first one, I'd like to give just three and then see what you have to say. The first one, and again, these are just to show that there is a specific purpose to them that should not last, but it's John 10:25. Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And then Acts 2:22, many of Israel hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst. And one more. I have a lot here, just kind of choosing my favorite. Acts 14:3, therefore they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by the apostles' hands. So I think these are three clear verses that we see this continuing theme, that these miraculous works, they bear witness that Christ is speaking and that God is speaking through him. And again, in Acts, that these miracles, Jesus was attested by God by these miracles. And the apostles, same thing, that God was testifying through these miracles that what they were saying was the new revelation of this age.
Got it. Okay, so let me, Patrick, just for time's sake and for the sake of other callers, because I tried to give you more time. Number one, no one's arguing with the fact that God gave supernatural testimony to who Jesus is. We all affirm that. That's number one. Number two, Jesus says, John 14:12, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will I do because I go to the Father. So Jesus explicitly says, whoever believes in him, in the context of miraculous works, if you read John 14, that's what he's talking about, that we will do the same things. That's number one. Number two, the kingdom continues to be confirmed wherever the gospel is preached. When you go around the world and preach the gospel and find the sick and the demonized and come in the name of Jesus, God continues to back the word of his power around the world. It's happening with massive numbers everywhere around the world. There's nowhere that says it would stop. Okay, the message is still confirmed. And number three, Jesus also healed the sick out of compassion and said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said he could only do what he sees the Father doing. And in 1 Corinthians 12, the purpose of the gifts is not for miraculous confirmation, Patrick. It's for the common good. The purpose of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 is not for miraculous confirmation. It's for the common good. So, again, we have explicit testimony that the gifts will continue until Jesus returns in several places in the New Testament. That's number one. Number two, Jesus says whoever believes in him will do the same works. Number three, we have the text, James, Jacob 5, saying that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, not attached to a specific sign or wonder. Number four, as the gospel continues to spread around the world, God continues to confirm it. Patrick, this is confirmation that the kingdom of God is breaking in, that the kingdom of God has arrived in power. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:19, the kingdom of God is not a matter of words only, but of power. When did the power change? Thanks for the call, Patrick. I appreciate it. When did the power change? When did the dunamis of God change? Jesus healed the sick by the dunamis of God, his power. That same power comes upon us through the Spirit. When did it change? All right, we have our phone lines jammed. Took a while. Maybe you're getting a little frustrated. Want to weigh in. Wonderful. I will get to every single caller, God willing, and helping over the next hour and a half. We'll get to every single call that we possibly can. 866-348-7884. Couple of updates for you. I got the galleys, so this is the actual layout to go to print for Authentic Fire. Got it in last night and discovered that the manuscript at this point is about 420 pages long, which means that in a little over 2 week period, I wrote something like 300 or 350 pages. I didn't realize it was that much. But we will be getting this out, in the next week to 10 days in e-form, and then print in print form through our ministry. We'll tell you more about that as the days go on. But here's the other really exciting and surprising news. We've been announcing my Hyper Grace book. It will be released to the general public January 7th. But we actually have a limited number that we'll be able to get to you for the holidays. If you want to bless someone with what we're doing with the very first ones off the press, we're numbering them, and I'm signing them with a scripture. This is $30 postage paid, so it's a way for you to stand with us and help us, especially as I get ready to go to India for my 21st time on Monday. It's a way for you to stand with us and help us, but it's something very special. If you want us to sign it to you, or to someone else, just tell us when you call in. So we will get these in plenty of time for the holidays. To my total surprise, I found out that we have a limited number coming in to us. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978 for Hyper Grace. I was just doing a search and found that I quote or make reference to Joseph Prince in his writings over 50 times in the book. So we're really letting people air their views and discussing them and showing why there's serious error in the Hyper Grace teaching, truth mixed with error. So to get your numbered and signed copy of Hyper Grace, and they will arrive in plenty of time for the holidays, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. 9978, or just go straight to our website, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, you can order from there. All right, what does the word say about the gifts of the Spirit for today?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to our second ever cessationist call-in day. I'm asking for something clear in the New Testament that says that the gifts will not continue. Something clear in the New Testament that says that the miraculous gifts that were present in the New Testament and promised in the New Testament are not normative for today. We agree that God gave special confirmation to Jesus coming into the world. We fully agree with that. But it was not just abstract confirmation. When skeptics asked him for a sign from heaven, he wouldn't perform it. But he constantly pointed to his works. Why? Because his works were manifestations of the kingdom breaking in. When God's kingdom breaks in, sick are healed, demons leave people, captives are set free, sins are forgiven. What happened to the kingdom of God? Did it disappear, or is it continuing to advance in the world today? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Staten Island, New York. Domingo, thank you so much for calling the line of fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Very well.
Okay, I have like 4 points. Before I tell you my 4 points, I got to tell you my background. I'm a cessationist, and I've been in the Assembly of God Church for 10 years with my wife. My wife is Pentecostal, but I'm not. And just being there, I've come to the conclusion that the gifts have ceased. And here are my 4 points. One, I read in Wikipedia that there are 100 million charismatic Catholics. They're having the same manifestations as, regular Pentecostal charismatics. Now, I mean, as Protestants, we always believe that the Catholics are heretical church, and yet there are 100 million that, well, I would say all of them, and that's another issue, not all of them, but many within the 100 million have these manifestations.
All right, let's take it one at a time, all right?
Okay, go ahead.
Jesus said that there'll be false and counterfeit signs and wonders and miracles. Jesus said there'll be false Christ. Does that mean there's not a true Christ? There'll be false teachers. Does that mean there's not a true teacher? False manifestations. Does that mean they're not true manifestations? And here, Mormons claim to have an inner witness of the Spirit. Does that mean that your inner witness is false?
But it's the same exact manifestation. If you went to their congregations, I'm Hispanic, and I've seen a lot of them, Catholic charismatics. It's basically,
well, how do you know the people aren't born again?
If they are, the Bible says that the Spirit will lead you into all truth, and eventually you would have let them out of that church. But
maybe they'll be let out of the church, Domingo.
Okay,
but you're talking experience. So hang on. So based on your limited experience, you're going to throw out the testimony of Scripture?
No, but there's another thing. There's
okay, so we agree that your first argument has nothing to do with Scripture. Let's go to your second argument.
This does. The Bible says that the Spirit will fall upon all flesh, right? It says all. And yet, within charismatic churches, within the church, there's usually maybe less than half that have a manifestation of baptism. And
what does that have to do with Scripture, though? So all flesh mean, what does it mean in Acts 2 that the Holy Spirit will be poured on all flesh? What does it mean?
All of his children, because this promise is for you and your children.
Hang on. You just said all flesh. So now you limited all flesh.
Well, because the Scriptures limits all flesh. It's all his followers.
In other words, over the entire world, the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out.
No. His believers who ask for the gift.
But hang on. It's talking about people all around the world, correct?
No, it says, I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. It's not going to pour it out on unbelievers.
I'm not talking about unbelievers. He's talking about it's not just going to be on a select few. It's going to be on his people all around the world, correct?
Yes, yeah.
All right, that's happening right now by the hundreds of millions. So hang on. We'll get back to you, Domingo, all right? What's troubling me, though, is everything you're saying so far is experience. I want to know Scripture. You give me experience. We'll be right back.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Now, all right. When I said phone lines were jammed, they're jammed with people calling in, just like last time, to say why the gifts continue. And we're getting to, I'm just being candid with you. When we tell all those folks, no, don't call in, or people with questions about the gifts, no, don't call in. This is just phone lines open for those who have scriptural arguments why the gifts don't continue until today. Unfortunately, we're getting very few calls. Oh, people are calling left and right to say why the gifts continue scripturally. I understand that. I'd spend show after show after show after show just going through scriptures to demonstrate that. I want to give folks an opportunity to give me scriptural reasons why the gifts don't continue. If you believe they don't, tell me why, scripturally. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, so Domingo, and the text you quoted actually works directly against you, because around the world, on hundreds of millions of people, just as God said, the Holy Spirit is being poured out with tongues, with prophecy, with healing. And these people are coming to Jesus and turning away from sin, and it's to the glory of God. Well, you should be rejoicing in that.
You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. The Bible says that this gift is for everybody within the congregation, whoever asks. And when you go through the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit poured out, you know, when Christ said, it poured out on Cornelius. There was no delay. It poured out when... on Samaria, when the apostles came, they laid down their hands. They got it. They didn't
well,
have
no, there was a delay with Philip. But Domingo, hang on. What does it say in Acts 2? This promise is for when? For the last days.
Okay. Yeah.
Are we living in the last days?
Yeah.
All right. No. So we should expect this.
But
all we're talking about is Bible, Domingo. All we're talking about is Bible, not experience. Bible.
No, of course. But I'm just saying, if the Baptists didn't believe in the baptism, wouldn't God have poured out his Spirit on them, just like Cornelius? Because Cornelius wasn't even...
Not if they reject it. Not if they have a theology rejecting it.
But God, man, I don't know, because...
It doesn't say every single human being. It says all flesh. In other words, a mass of people around the world. And that's exactly... That's right. If you ask, you'll receive.
But the thing is, in the church,
but Domingo, why are you basing things on experience? Okay, the Word of God. Domingo, stop, please.
Okay, go
listen.
Ahead.
The Word says the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh in the last days, and the promise is to you, your children, all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Okay?
Okay.
Where does the Bible say that has changed?
But where does it say that it's only when God, there's a delay?
Domingo, that's not my question. Where does the Bible say that it's no longer for today?
It doesn't say it explicitly, but when you look
Hang on, it says the opposite. It says it's for the last days, and that's the period we're in, and it's to you, your children, all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So that's everybody, okay? The promise is for everybody, for all believers in the last days. Where does the Bible change that? You keep going back to experience.
Okay, it's strange because, like I said, only, for example, in my wife's
Domingo, church, Domingo, forget people today. What does the Bible say?
That is for you and your children. That if you ask, you receive it.
Domingo, so therefore we should expect it. Domingo, therefore we should expect it.
Exactly. But the thing is, they received it when the apostles laid their hands on
them. Domingo, therefore we should expect it. The Holy Spirit is being poured out on hundreds of millions of people around the world today, and they are speaking in tongues and prophesying, and God is saving them and transforming them. Why aren't you rejoicing?
Wow. But the thing is, Dr. Brown, when Philip the Evangelist, who was endowed with signs and wonders, went to Samaria, he had to tell the Samaritan believers to wait until the apostles come so they could receive the
Holy
Spirit.
No, he didn't tell him. He didn't tell him to wait. That's how God did it. But here's
but
the
why?
Point. Domingo.
Why didn't he just pour down through Philip? There's a reason why God had the Samaritans.
I have no problem with the way it unfolds. I'm simply asking you to show me in the Bible where it says it would stop. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, all right, go to your third argument, okay? This is useless when you won't accept the testimony. Here, I just want to tell everyone listening, here's my heartfelt frustration. When the scripture is explicit, my cessationist friends are going to give me reasons based on experience why they don't receive the testimony of the word, and then they're going to accuse me of basing things on experience.
That, frankly,
is a little frustrating.
Okay, this is my last one. The gift of being slain in the spirit. Okay? All charismatic...
Wait, Domingo, where is that in the Bible?
Exactly. First of all, where is it in the Bible?
Domingo, hang on. Domingo, listen. The purpose of the show was for someone to demonstrate to me, based on the scriptures, that the New Testament charismatic gifts have ceased. You've done the opposite of that with every point. All you're basing things on is experience. And now you want to bring up something that the Bible doesn't address.
But you guys accept it as part of...
All right, Domingo, tell you what. Listen. It's not fair to other callers when we're given explicit guidelines here. All right? The argument is not about being slain in the spirit or not. You got issue with being in a Pentecostal church with your wife. That's your issue. That's what you guys need to work through. But I want to encourage you, get alone with God and say, Father, I want everything you have for me. All right? Because he has more for you than you have yet experienced. And it's for his glory and for the good of a dying world. Look, I'm going to be fair. If I'm not letting continuationists call in, and that's been the bulk of the callers, if I'm not letting you call in with positive arguments, then those that are calling in on the cessationist side have to play by the rules. Scripture. That's our issue. All right. Hopefully we can do a little better here. David in Yonkers, New York, thank you, sir, for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
I think first, before I give my answers, you have to define and give examples of things. What do you consider tongues? And what do you consider prophecy? Do you consider tongues somebody goes to another country or some island with a dialect that very few people know, and they go to witness and they're able to say it in that person's language, just like at the time of Pentecost? Is that what tongues is?
No, that's not what tongues speaks of in 1 Corinthians 14. Now, that does happen. One of my friends, David...
I believe it.
Yeah, but one of my friends who's not even charismatic was sharing with me how stunned he was when he was on the mission field, and this happened with him and another brother. You know, he was absolutely stunned by it. But 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is explicit that no one understands the language. He doesn't say find someone that knows how to interpret it, but rather you need someone who has the supernatural gift of interpretation. So it's not a language understood by man. But here's the other thing. If I was speaking French and I didn't understand French, or if I was speaking a heavenly language and didn't understand it, it would be all the same to me in terms of my understanding. Paul said he would pray with his spirit and he would pray with his mind, but he thanked God that he spoke in tongues more than all the Corinthians, so it was important to him. However, if he was with them publicly, he would not deliver a message in tongues because that would be useless to them unless there was interpretation. Rather, he'd rather speak five words with understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. As for prophecy, these are inspired utterances in the New Testament, but because potentially anyone could prophesy in the New Testament, everything has to be tested. The Holy Spirit now indwells all of us as believers, and prophetic words must be tested by all, and we hold fast to that which is good and discard that which is not.
Okay, the only thing, two things I want to talk is the tongues and the prophecy. I'm glad you explained it because I understand the tongues, and I wish I could do that. I think it's fantastic. I believe it. But he does say in 14 that the speaker must interpret it, or two other people, at the most three. Otherwise, you edify the person and not the church. So he does say somebody has to interpret it.
If they're going to be public messages, right. But David, again, the discussion here is not on the purpose of tongues in an assembly today, but rather do the gifts continue? Do miraculous gifts continue until today? So you're actually saying you believe they do?
No, well, what I'm saying is you just said not in public, so that means he's done the speaking in tongues in private. Is that correct?
That's the primary use. If a public message is delivered, then there should be an interpretation. If there's no interpretation, The person should not deliver a public message.
Does that mean we're in agreement when I'm walking down the hall, and I've literally witnessed this dozens of times over the years, and you hear that talking that sounds like my friends in Lebanon with all that sha shalaka makalakala, and you say, what's going on? Oh, they're speaking in tongues, and you ask not only the people doing it, but you ask everybody in that room, 150 people, and everybody says the same thing. I have no idea what he's saying.
All right, David, what does that have to do with the New Testament says that the gifts are for today?
Okay, prophecy.
That's all I was looking for is verses. We're not talking about the proper use of the gifts today. That's another subject.
Okay, I don't think prophecy is a gift today.
Based on what scripture?
Well, how many times do they got to say something is going to happen? Because according to scripture, prophecy, if you prophesy 20 times, it has to come true all time.
All right. So, no. Okay, we'll come back to that.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm trying, friends. This is the second show I've done this now. I've been asking Pastor MacArthur and his camp, let's sit down and have a formal, moderated debate on do the New Testament gifts continue to today. What does Scripture say? If someone says, well, I speak in tongues today and I've had real prophecies and I've seen the sick healed, that's wonderful. I rejoice with you. It's my experience too. But that's not what we base things on. We base things on Scripture. Well, they prayed for my dad and he died. I'm sorry to hear that. I've prayed for people who've died as well. But that's not what we base things on. We base them on Scripture. This is now the second broadcast, which will be a total of 4 hours when we're done, giving folks opportunity to call in and present arguments based on Scripture that say that the New Testament gifts, the charismatic gifts in the New Testament, are not for today. I can present you an abundant amount of evidence that they continue until Jesus returns and should be the expected norm for the glory of God, for the upbuilding of the body, and to touch a dying world. I'm waiting for an argument of substance, especially something explicit from the New Testament that tells me that's contrary. So, David, just want to get back to you quickly. Can you give me any New Testament scripture that says prophecy is not for today?
Well, looking at 13 and 14, there seems to be a lot of ifs in there. If I speak in tongues, if I have faith, if I have the gift of prophecy, I don't think prophecy... I asked you my original question before you went to the break was... According to Scripture, prophecy, if you do 20 predictions in 20 years, all of them have to come true. You can't have one of them not come true.
Right, but that's unrelated to the question of what the New Testament says. Here's what Paul writes. So, my brothers, this is how he sums up his discussion. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. Then 1 Thessalonians 5, don't despise prophecies, test everything, hold fast to that which is good, don't put out the Spirit's fire. So here he says to earnestly desire it. And in Acts 2, in the context of the Holy Spirit being poured out on all flesh and your sons and daughters prophesy, Peter says that's for the last days and it's for everyone that the Lord calls to himself. So does the Bible ever contradict that? It tells me to earnestly desire to prophesy. Does it ever tell me not to?
Well, since you keep going back to the last days, again, I still say I don't think people are prophets today until closer to the end times. Because
it started then in Acts 2. The last days began when Jesus rose from the dead. When he died and rose from the dead, that's the beginning of the last days according to the New Testament.
Okay, then I never understood then what the last days were for, because my interpretation of the last days was when you would see people, and this is my personal interpretation, I would think of the last days as when you see people on every other street corner witnessing and crime rates at horrendous numbers, that we would have a very clear indication that Jesus is coming. I mean, such turmoil that's a thousand times worse than what we consider today our country.
So you're saying then that you believe there'll be a great outpouring of the Spirit at the end?
Yes.
All right. So, David, I appreciate that. So, again, then you're not a cessationist then. You're just holding to a particular view of the last days. Yeah, according to 1 Corinthians 10, the end of the ages has come upon us. According to Hebrews 1, in these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son. According to 1 Peter 1, God has revealed his salvation to us in the last days. According to Jacob James 5, the wicked have heaped up riches in the last days. Speaking of that day then, according to 1 John 2, we're already in the last hour. So we have been in the last days since the death and resurrection of Jesus. Will things intensify as we get closer and closer to the end? Certainly. I believe there'll be greater wickedness and greater outpouring, and that we'll see everything the devil has to do to deceive and destroy, and we'll see the greatest outpouring of the Spirit and harvest we've ever seen. Parallel extremes. All right, thank you, sir, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me just present a couple of useful thoughts in terms of the gifts of the Spirit continuing for today. I mentioned earlier the dunamis of God, the miraculous power of God. The word in the plural speaks of miracles, miraculous acts. Luke speaks about them a lot in Luke and Acts. And Luke 1:35, Jesus born by the power of the Spirit, the dunamis of the Spirit. Luke 4:14, he comes out of the wilderness in the dunamis of the Spirit. 5:17, the dunamis of the Lord is present for him to heal the sick. The same in 6:19, 8:46, then in Luke. Then Luke 24:49, stay in the city until you're endued with what? Dunamis, power from on high. Acts 1:8, you'll receive dunamis, power. Acts 4:33, the apostles bore witness in the power of the Spirit. Then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:1-5, that he didn't want their trust to be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So when he preached Jesus and him crucified, it was confirmed with God's power. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 4:20, I said 4:19 earlier, 4:20, he said, the kingdom of God is not a matter of words, but of dunamis, power. When did that change? Stephen was endued with that same dunamis. He was not an apostle. We received the same Spirit. When, pray tell, did that change? 1 Corinthians 1:7, Paul writes to the Corinthians, you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. The expectation was that the gifts would continue until Jesus returns, which Paul makes explicit in 1 Corinthians 13:8 through 12. When Jesus healed the sick out of compassion, which he did many times, when he said he could only do what he saw the Father doing, when did God's compassion change? You said, oh, yes, but there are special signs God did through Jesus. Of course, we all acknowledge that. We don't question that whatsoever. But where gifts of healing were put in the body, when were those taken away? Where doesn't it say in Romans 11:29 that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable? When were those taken away? As my friend Dr. Greg Keener says in his appendix that he wrote for my Authentic Fire book, the Spirit was poured out in Acts 2. When was it poured back up? All right, got an hour more to take calls. If you miss any of the program, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on Latest Audio. Just a few hours from now, you'll be able to listen to the whole show. And here's the good news. We have a limited number of advanced print copies of Hyper Grace. We're going to number them and sign them for your gift of $30. You'll get this. It's a collector's item dealing with probably the hottest issue in the body today and the one causing the most division and deception. And here in an edifying, life-giving way, we'll set the record straight and exalt God's true grace. Hyper Grace will get it to you in time for the holidays. We just found out that we've got this advanced set coming to us. We're going to make them available to you. But call right now to order 1-800-278-9978. The earlier you order, the earlier numbered copy you get, which is always special. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Or just go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. We'll sign it to you or to whoever you ask us to sign it to with a scripture. My bottom line today, God continues to pour out his Spirit to glorify Jesus and build up his body. We should welcome everything the Holy Spirit is doing in the earth today. Well, it's the day you've been waiting for, our second ever cessationist call-in day. I'm waiting for your best arguments as to why the New Testament charismatic gifts do not continue till today. Let's talk.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, here's my question for you. If I can show you in the Word that it says, go and make disciples of the nations, you would need now to have verses saying to stop going and making disciples, to stop trying to win the lost, to negate that, right? Or if God says that he will pour out his Spirit and we should desire certain gifts and these things will continue until Jesus returns, then you'd need something explicit in Scripture saying that that's not the case. Otherwise, we should simply take the Word and what it says, correct? So that's my argument for my cessationist friends. We've had 1 hour, and I want to be candid with you. I'm really hoping to get some stronger calls in the second hour, because what I heard from folks was either experience or taking one verse but not looking at the evidence of other verses. So this is your opportunity to call in. If you believe that the gifts of the Spirit that were normative in the New Testament, healing and miracles and tongues and prophecy, that they are not to be normative today, the question is, what does Scripture say? So I want to be clear. We got a lot of calls the first hour, and this is what normally happens if we address this issue. We got a lot of calls from folks saying that they agree with me that the gifts do continue until today. So I appreciate that, but we didn't take any of those calls. I know many of you could call with miraculous testimony of what the Lord's done by his power and grace, and that's wonderful. We've had shows to talk about that, but we're not taking those calls, nor are we taking calls about how the gifts do operate today, but rather just giving time for my cessationist friends. This is an in-house argument. This is something between brothers and sisters. This is not something as to who goes to heaven, who goes to hell. We are united in Jesus. He is our Savior, whether we agree on cessationism or not. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going straight to the phones. Let's go to Staten Island with Carlton. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I love your show. You know, I just want to know, I think there should be more forums like this where, you know, in-house, we can talk about things, doctrine, and everything, because it's important. If I may ask a few questions, because one argument that I hear a lot of those who believe in continuationism is that Jesus said, whoever believes in me, he'll do these things and they'll do greater things. All right. I just have one question to ask concerning that, because Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead after he was dead for 4 days. I'm asking you, maybe you have heard of something, has there ever been a scenario where someone was raised in a similar circumstance or greater, dead for 4 or more days?
All right, so here's my question for you, Carlton. First, Jesus did say whoever believes in him would do the same works, and in the context of John 14, it's talking about miraculous gifts. But let's just look in the New Testament, all right? Jesus did say that. Cessationists would often say he was only talking to the apostles, something like that. So here's the question. Did it happen in the New Testament? Was someone raised from the dead who had been dead longer than 4 days?
I don't read it.
All right. I don't either. Jesus didn't say, and we'll come back. We got a break coming up. I'll come right back to you, Carlton. Jesus didn't say that his people would do something greater than everything he did. He never said that. He didn't say that we'll all walk on the water more than he did or something like that. But certainly, you already have in the New Testament 3,000 saved in a single day. That didn't happen in the ministry of Jesus. Numbers of miracles happening with large crowds in a single time, perhaps greater than happened in his day. All right, be right back with Carlton.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on our second cessationist call-in day. We have days for folks to call in. We've had Calvinist call-in days, dispensationalist call-in days, cessationist call-in days. We had as Mary the Mother of God, Catholic call-in day one time. So for folks to call in whose views differ than mine, normally disputes within the body, but we've had days for atheists to call in and so on. So the goal is to give a platform for discussion. That's a major reason why I'm on live talk radio instead of just playing recorded messages, which have a wonderful and important role for building up the body and also reaching the lost. But live talk has another role, and that's why we do live talk radio, not only from around America, but even as I travel around the world. 866-34-TRUTH. So, Carlton in Staten Island, back to you. So, you realize the argument you raised about John 14:12 would negate the verse having any meaning whatsoever if the only way to prove it is someone had to be raised from the dead who was dead longer than Lazarus or something like that. So it really has nothing to do with continuationism. The question has to do simply with the meaning of the verse.
Okay.
Are you there? Yeah. All right. But anyhow, yeah. Do you have a strong argument, a point that you'd like to raise?
Okay. Well, like the first call of Patrick, he brought up the point of what the purpose is of the gift in the New Testament. And I mean, in Hebrews, the gifts are spoken of as confirmation to the word preached by those that were taught by the Lord. Now, going forward in the life of the church, Jesus said, I will build my church, right? And the way that he built his church is by his word, according to the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. You know, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Well, that's sanctify them through that's make them holy through your word. It doesn't say he's going to build it through the word alone. So when Paul talks about this, he says it the opposite of you, Carlton. He says it's not in word only, but it's in power. The kingdom of God is not a matter of words, meaning words only, but of power. And he says when he preached Jesus and him crucified, he wanted that to be in the power of the Spirit. Otherwise, their faith would be in human wisdom. But check this out. What Patrick did in the first hour was mention some verses that spoke about God supernaturally confirming the ministry of Jesus. We agree. But the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 are not for confirmation, but rather for common good. So that's you can't put one category and place the other thing in there. The other thing is there are verses in the New Testament that tell us to expect the continuance of the gifts till Jesus returns. There are verses that tell us to expect the healing of the sick. So obviously those are not just tied in with signs. And then in Galatians, the third chapter, notice what Paul says to Galatians who are already believers, and now they were backsliding in certain ways, and Paul was warning them. But he says, does he who supplies the Spirit you and works miracles among you, present tense, do so by works of the law, by hearing with faith? So this was not to confirm the gospel coming to the lost. They're already believers. And he speaks of the miracles continuing in their midst. So certain miraculous signs and wonders do come by way of God's purpose to confirm Jesus or confirm the message. But the fact is, many are simply reflections of his goodness, reflections of the fact that the Spirit's in our midst. Again, as Craig Keener says, the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts. When was it poured back up? When did God reverse himself? When he said the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with prophecy and miracles was for the last days and for all the Lord our God would call? When did that change? Jesus performed miracles because the kingdom was breaking into this world. The kingdom broke into this world. Has the kingdom departed? Yeah, Carlton, I'm speaking to you now if you can hear me.
Yeah, I had a question about the last days also because, you know, that's a prophecy from Joel, which, I mean, you're more familiar with the Hebrew language. But, you know, it was also spoken of Christ that he would be 3 days and three nights in the grave.
Right.
Now, we know that he wasn't 3 full days and 3 full nights in the grave because he would have not been able to raise up on Sunday morning. So when he says, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit, the last days are until now, but
correct.
The portion of the last days, does he mean that he's pouring out every time, you know, I don't know, like every 100 years or every
no,
often,
no, no, the Spirit has been poured out. The Spirit has been poured out, and Acts 2:39, the promise is for you and your children and all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So the promise of the outpouring of the Spirit continues. It's in the last days, and it continues until Jesus returns. That's why, again, Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1, it says, you're not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And that's why cessationist Baptist professor Thomas Schreiner notes, he himself is a cessationist, that a good case for the continuation of the gifts until Jesus' second coming may be made, can be made from 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 12. Paul lays out the gifts of the Spirit, not separating something into a special category of revelatory gifts. He lays them out in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 12. Nowhere does Paul or any other New Testament author say that this impartation of the Spirit was given for a few decades at most. Nowhere does he say these gifts were given to confirm the apostles' message. Rather, they are the gracious workings of the Spirit through the body for the common good. And then we're told to eagerly desire to prophesy and not forbid speaking in tongues. So who changed that? Who changed that? That's my simple question. Who changed it? Let's go to Jason in Delaware, Ohio. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Jason.
Yes, hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I just had a quick question. I'm the Assembly's God minister, so it's kind of a in-house, just kind of throwing a softball at you. But it's sure, I'm sure there's someone listening who has got this argument in mind. I haven't heard it brought up yet. I love your show, by the way.
Well, thank you, sir.
The scripture text that I get, and I just want to get built up and hear what you have to say on rebuttal on it, is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you're very familiar with it, where it talks about love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, and then they tie that with 2 Timothy 3:16, and this ESV version here says profitable for teaching, but I think King James and other translations of English, that Greek word, can also be translated perfect, I think. It's been a while since I've talked to a brother about this. But so what do you think about that, brother, the perfect referring to the Scripture?
Yeah,
and
by the way, Jason.
My answer off the air.
All right, sounds good, Jason. By the way, I spent some great time with George Wood, who is the General Superintendent for the Assemblies of God. We were together in China, so we had some great fellowship together. All right. It's interesting that no one's called in with 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 12 in particular. It's interesting because it's increasingly being abandoned. This is a fairly new interpretation. You do not find this interpretation hardly at all in older literature. It's really a reaction against the charismatic Pentecostal movement. And in fact, the text says the opposite of what some cessationists would argue. So Paul says, 1 Corinthians 13, 8, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. All right? So just that last thing, as for knowledge, it will pass away. Well, obviously, we haven't gotten to that part yet. But Paul tells us explicitly when it will happen. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Some cessationists, again, increasingly few, argue that the perfect refers to the completion of the canon of the New Testament. The problem, of course, with that was that Paul was not conscious that there was a specific canon of the New Testament, and that he was writing letters that were going to be part of this New Testament. So as Professor Gordon Fee says in his 1 Corinthians commentary, that Paul would not be speaking of something of which he did not know. But more importantly, the context makes explicitly clear, as I just noted, cessationist, Baptist, New Testament scholar Thomas Schreiner acknowledging this, that the text is not saying when the canon of Scripture is complete, but rather when the perfect comes is when Jesus returns. How do we know it? Well, let's look at what it says. When the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. That's not our state now. That's the state with the eschaton. That's the state when the perfect comes with the return of Jesus. Then we know face to face. Then we know in full. The fact that we've been having doctrinal arguments indicates we have not yet reached that point. Again, it's increasingly rare, Jason, for cessationists even to raise the text, because it is the opposite of what the scripture says.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, one thing that's very important to understand in terms of the gifts of the Spirit being for today, if you understand that when Jesus came into the world, that he brought the breaking in of the kingdom of God into this age, we pray for God's kingdom to come, meaning the full manifestation of the kingdom when Jesus returns. And until then, we'll have pain and suffering and trouble and difficulties and issues in this world. And of course, we'll have persecution, opposition for the gospel. And of course, people will get sick, and of course, everyone will die, unless we're part of that final group that lives to see Jesus return. But in the midst of it, God's Spirit is at work. The kingdom of God is advancing. And as the kingdom of God advances, it's just like if you shine light into a dark place, the light displaces the darkness. The presence of the kingdom brings healing, deliverance, miracles for the glory of God. And in particular, where the gospel has never been, where the gospel has never been preached, you come and say, we have a holy book. They may say, well, we have a holy book. But when that message is preached in power, when the Holy Spirit brings deep conviction of sin, when demonic strongholds are broken, when sick bodies are healed, it happens consistently around the world that people are brought to Jesus. This is for the glory of God. 866-348-7884. This is Cessationist Call-In Day. We're not asking you to call with miraculous testimonies. We're not asking you to call with arguments that the gifts of the Spirit are for today, but rather scriptural arguments why they are not. Let's go to Robert in Palm Harbor, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire, Robert. What's your scriptural argument?
Yeah, I have 5 quick points to make, and maybe you could just jot them down because I know there's other callers.
Sure thing.
In 1 Corinthians 13:8, Paul explained that whether there are tongues, they will cease. The Greek verb used in that verse, P-A-U-O, means to cease permanently, indicating that the gift of tongues would come to an end once for all. In 1 Corinthians 13:10, Paul noted that the partial knowledge and partial prophecy would be done away with when that which is perfect has come. But what did Paul mean by perfect? The Greek word teleion means perfect, mature, or complete, and commentators over a wide range of theological persuasions agree. F.F. Bruce suggests that perfect is love itself. Warfield tends to see it as a completion of the canon. Robert Thomas argues it is a mature church. Richard Gaffin refers it as the return of Christ. The one that impressed me was by Thomas Edgar. If it seems apparent in this passage, teleion perfect refers to the individual's presence with the Lord. This passage does not refer to some prophetic point in history. These factors mean that this passage is does not teach when gifts will cease or how long they will last. It serves to remind the Corinthians of the abiding nature of love, in contrast to the gifts, which are by nature are
all right. So, yeah, so just real quick, Robert, hang on. Let me just jump in.
Okay, go ahead.
Of course, I just addressed 1 Corinthians 13 with the previous call. You need to make sure you turn things down a little, otherwise we're hearing the echo here of my speech. But I did just address 1 Corinthians 13, Robert, with the previous caller. Again, it's hardly any modern 1 Corinthians commentaries today say that this means the completion of the canon, and almost none interpret it like that before, the 20th century in particular. Paul says that when that comes, the perfect, all right, then we will see face to face, and we will know fully, even as we have been fully known. So that can only refer to the return of Jesus. That can only refer to the bringing in of perfection in our resurrected bodies. Otherwise, before then, we do not know fully, even as we are fully known. That's why almost no one, even cessationists, are increasingly abandoning that view. And the Warfield view, etc., is, again, unfortunate, especially for a scholar of his nature. Was there another verse you wanted to raise, Robert, outside of 1 Corinthians 13?
Matthew 14:36.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Go ahead.
This shows that New Testament healings were completely successful, while in the charismatic Pentecostal spectrum, they aren't.
But that's experience, though. We're basing things on experience there. The question is, what does the Bible say?
Were immediate and spontaneous, and in Mark 1:42 and Acts 2:22.
So why did Paul leave Trophimus sick in Miletus?
Why did what?
Why did Paul leave Trophimus sick in Miletus in 2 Timothy 4? Why did he tell Timothy?
Excuse me. I think you're giving a wrong interpretation to it.
Why wasn't he, if healing was 100% always instant and automatic? Yeah, Robert, there's just too much background noise, so I gotta just put you on hold here. If first thing, you're talking experience, okay? The only question is what Scripture says, and Scripture makes clear where we should expect healing when we pray for the sick, and it never says the gift of healing was withdrawn from the church ever. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12 places it as something that's completely ongoing. In fact, I want to look at that text in a moment. So that's the first thing. We want to look at Scripture, not experience. But just based on Scripture, Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake, not to drink water exclusively. Paul left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Some claim that Paul had a physical illness as well. That's debated, but some claim that. So that would indicate that healing was not 100% all the time. Well, correct? So just want to point that out. And then you even have the man at the Gate Beautiful at the temple. It would appear that Jesus passed him at different times and he wasn't healed. Just want to point that out. All right, we got time for some more calls, and I'm still waiting for a single solid argument from Scripture that contradicts all of the verses that say to expect these things and to believe these things and that they're the presence of the Spirit in our midst. I mentioned yesterday that when I was in China speaking to a number of Christian leaders, denominational heads, presidents of seminaries and schools, and quite a few said that the big issue they're dealing with, the thing they see everywhere in epidemic level, is the era of hypergrace. My new book, Hypergrace, for example, Joseph Prince alone, I refer to about 50 times in the book, so you can hear what he has to say and see what's right, see what's wrong. We lay things out clearly in the Word. We just got the news, to my total surprise, this week, just got it yesterday, that we will have a number of copies sent to us in advance before release to the general public in January to get a numbered, signed copy of the book, Hyper Grace, in time for the holidays. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. If you want me to sign it to someone other than yourself, just tell when you call in. Let us know. And you can go online, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, you can order this special signed and numbered copy.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to our cessationist call-in day. If you want to argue scripturally that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today, my contention is the overwhelming testimony of the New Testament is that they continue until Jesus returns, and that there's not a single verse in the New Testament that says anything to the contrary. Give you the opportunity to call and express why you differ with that. 866-34-TRUTH. On Monday, I'm scheduled to leave for India, my 21st trip to that amazing country. Broadcasting live from India, God willing, next week. So can't wait to make the trip. Can't wait to broadcast live from India. It's about past midnight, I guess 12:30 to 2:30 in the morning that we'll get to do that and report on what's happening there. But just got this note from the ministry we work with last week, Yesupadam. It's one of my closest friends in the world and the leader of the ministry there in India. Last week, Yesupadam and another team went to the villages and baptized six people. One man had his leg amputated just days before. His leg had been numb and unusable. People told him if he accepted Jesus, he could be healed. Well, he accepted Jesus and wasn't healed, but wanted to follow Jesus and be baptized. Yesupadam asked him why he wanted to follow this Jesus who had not healed him. His response was, I found Jesus and have peace now, and that is more important than having a leg. You see, we all agree on that. When people die, they can get a new body, but they can't get a new heart. We agree that the emphasis, our thrust, our focus is on leading people to Jesus. So we all work together for that. And if you're a cessationist and a soul winner, I'll stand side by side with you to glorify Jesus and reach out to the lost. And if I have opportunity to pray for the sick and minister to them, I'll do it. And I'll expect God to touch, and many who are touched will turn to him because of that. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Travis in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. It's an honor to be able to talk to you. And I just had a question, and I'm going to hang up, and I'm hoping you can help me out with this because I'm kind of an agnostic on this issue.
Sure.
But I grew up in a church that basically said the gifts had ceased. But I have many friends who are very sincere that they have talked in tongues and everything. And one of my questions is basically, you know, shouldn't it be true if the gifts are true or still going, that it would be universal, you know, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, all of us would be doing that? And I was always told that those gifts were for revelation, that it was at that time to show that that the apostles were sent by God. And, you know, and I've heard many great stories of missionaries that, you know, from Africa and things like that, that this stuff really happened. But you don't see it in America as much because, I mean, there's a church on every corner.
Yeah.
And please don't let me think, you know, I'm not stereotyping all charismatics. But when you see stuff that clearly people are babbling, like the show Irreligious with Bill Maher, we're making fun of Christians, it kind of makes us look non-intelligent. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you thought about that. Thank you.
You bet. Yep. Thank you for the questions, Travis. And I'll try to answer them concisely, but thank you for the call as you listen now. All right. Number one, Bill Maher is going to mock Jesus. He's going to mock the New Testament. He's going to mock all kinds of things that we believe. So the fact he's going to mock people speaking in tongues, what else is new? That doesn't prove something either way. But this much is clear. The giving of the Spirit in the New Testament was not primarily to verify the apostles. It was the exact opposite. It was now that this is coming upon all of God's people. Hence, Acts chapter 2, the outpouring was not just for the apostles. Rather, Peter says, it is for your sons and daughters, for all flesh, as many as the Lord our God will call. It is meant to be universal. It is given for all. It is available for all. And in most of the world where you travel, all are experiencing. Back with more.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to our cessationist call-in day. Those who say the gifts of the Spirit that were normative in the New Testament are not for today. Just to finish my answer to Travis, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Travis, in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, where Paul lays out the gifts there, nowhere does he say that this is to confirm the apostles or this is just for that day, that age. No, to the contrary, look at how he lays things out here in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating various kinds of tongues. They're all weaved in together. Even if someone wanted to argue that apostles and prophets are not for today, he's got teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating various kinds of tongues. They're all weaved in together. But do all possess gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I'll show you a still more excellent way, which is how to bring this all together based on love. But again, it's the opposite of being just for the apostles. We see God working through men like Philip and Stephen miraculously in the book of Acts with healing and miracles. They were not apostles. We see the longer ending of Mark 16, which was widely used by the early church leaders, that says these signs will follow those who believe. So if it's not the original ending of Mark, which we believe it's not, even if it's not part of the original New Testament, it is certainly something that was recognized as the words of Jesus by early church leaders and was quoted as such. These signs follow not only the apostles, but those who believe. Jesus says, whoever believes in me, the works I do, he'll do also. And in the context there, he's talking about miraculous works. And Jacob, James, the fourth chapter, you have not because you ask not. If people say this is not for today, it's unlikely they'll receive. But as you travel in more and more countries, you'll find that it's more and more common that, yeah, people believe in these things being for today. Presbyterians do, Methodists do, Lutherans do, others do. Why? Because it's clearly in the Word and it's clearly what God is doing. So I want to encourage you to look through the Scriptures again and to say, okay, if this was God laying out what we should expect, what should be continuing, what is the pattern, is there anywhere where it says it stops, anywhere where it says it changes? No, to the contrary. This is for the last days. This is to you, your children, all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Therefore, we should continue to expect to see the Holy Spirit move in this way. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia. Charles, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about James chapter 5, 14, 15, and 16.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this is an either-or situation or... I'm just asking a question here. Basically the verse says, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. It says, therefore, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So, there's a prescription for healing to, you know, be done in the New Testament. And my question is, could it be when the gospel was being established through the disciples and Stephen and Apollos and some others, you know, God gave sign gifts that those apostles could literally command, you know, like in front of the temple where the guy was begging and two of the disciples came and said, silver and gold I don't have, but that which I do have I give to you. Rise and walk.
Right, so you're saying that would be separate from James, Jacob, the fifth chapter, that this is the prayer offered in faith where the other was a command. Is that your point?
My point is, yeah, you're not going to see a faith healer go over to somebody in a wheelchair and, which I have, I to rise and walk out of that chair, and there'll be a miracle putting their spine back together when they got a neck or their back and they're quadriplegic, and they're going to be totally healed, rise up and walk out of there. Now, back in the days when the disciples were doing
those things are still happening. I mean, They're amazing, miraculous accounts that are completely...
I would challenge you, Dr. Brown, to provide an actual documented case with a video or anything that...
Charles, hang on. I didn't know that you were challenging me. I thought you were asking a genuine question.
When you say those things are happening today, I would like to see absolute proof of it.
Charles, do you have a video of Acts 3?
Of course not.
If you read doctors' reports verifying these things, okay? If you read doctors' reports verifying miraculous healings, then I trust, because you're not a skeptic or a mocker, you're a believer, that you would rejoice. So here's a good place to start, all right? Craig Keener, my colleague and friend, one of the world's most foremost New Testament scholars. Did I say most foremost? Foremost New Testament scholars, Craig Keener, has a two-volume work called Miracles. It is discussing the New Testament evidence, but then it's looking at the larger philosophical skepticism to miracles today. And then he has report after report after report after report after report, many of them with links with further documentation of God's miraculous healing power demonstrated today. When I put out a request for testimonies a few weeks ago, we were so flooded. To this day, I haven't even finished reading the reports that came in of verified miracles that Jesus is doing. So you ought to rejoice, Charles, but start there. Craig Keener, Miracles. And there's a ton of documentation in there. All right. But again, my question was Scripture. Where does Scripture say that this will cease? Where does it say it'll cease? That's my question. James Jacob 5 tells me we should expect to see God to continue to heal. We should expect to see that. And if Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, then we can understand the will of the Father by looking at Jesus, can we not? So, I mean, some people present things as if Jesus goes around making people sick today and the devil makes them well. You know, if there are claims of miracles, it's all counterfeit. I mean, it's a bit of an exaggerated statement, but you get the point. Whereas the New Testament pattern was that Satan often afflicted people, and it was Jesus who made them well. Acts 10:38, Peter tells the Gentiles listening how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And now he gives us his Spirit. And in Jesus' name, we continue to see the Spirit do the same things. Why? To the glory of God, to exalt the name of Jesus, and to turn people to him, and also just to express the love and goodness of God. No, not all are healed. And there are godly people who are sick. And if you pray for enough sick people, you'll see a whole lot of people not healed. And if you think this is some kind of crutch, well, you just need a crutch. No, it's the contrary. When you start believing God for healing the sick, your faith will be challenged to the core. I believe God is the healer today, not primarily based on what I've seen, although I've seen him do amazing things, but primarily based on what the Word says. If I based it primarily on experience, then I would often be disconsolate because of people I've prayed for who have not been healed, friends who have died that I've prayed for. And I don't mean at the age of 99. I mean at the age of 35. Tragically, or 16. I believe in God's healing power because of what Scripture promises more than because of my experience. All right, Marshall in Lebanon, Connecticut, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, it's always good to talk to you, and I've done this before. Now, I've been both. I was a very fervent Pentecostalist when I was in my 20s, and I got a severe injury, and I couldn't keep up with the exuberance, so I went to a cessationist church, and this is what they told me. I heard you explain, but perhaps you can explain more from 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 12. I'm only going to read 10 and 12. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. They say it's the Bible, which in verse 12 is that because they call it the perfect law of liberty in James. Now, what they said was it can't be Jesus coming because the word that is non-gendered. And what I said to them, this is my comeback because I really hang on to because I can't deny what I've seen and heard.
Yeah.
I said, Dr. Brown, that means non-gender. It's the realm of God, and I always
Can
I say verse 12 just really quickly?
Yeah, go ahead.
I always ask them. I say, "Oh, the Bible is complete, yeah, but do you know the Bible as well as Jesus knows you?" And I had not one of them ever told me, "Oh, sure, I know the Bible."
Well, not just that. Do we know God the way He knows us? Do we see Him face to face now? Or if we see Him face to face, why are we still walking by faith? Why are we still longing for His appearing? What's going to change when He comes back? It's only a tiny, tiny minority that believes that 1 Corinthians 13, when the perfect comes, is speaking of the completion of the canon. Only a tiny minority, even among cessationist scholars, they have virtually abandoned that teaching.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it turns out my authentic fire book, as I was proofreading the galleys, it's the actual layout as it's about to be printed. Longer than I thought, we're going to try to reformat a little bit and maybe get it under 400 pages, but otherwise it's like 420, 430 pages, so God gave me grace to write a lot more than I realized I had written in a short period of time, plus the great appendixes that were added to the book. So we'll be letting you know as soon as that's available. And then I've got some great news about the Hyper Grace book. I'll share that with you in a moment. Friends, the fact is, I'm convinced a simple reading of the New Testament, if you were alone, read it over and over and over and over, you'd never guess that gifts of the Spirit were to cease. Never guess that these things were not for the last days, were not until Jesus returned, were not for the common good, were not for the glory of God, should not be pursued. You'd never guess it. You'd never think the Spirit that was poured out was poured back up. You'd never think that the power of the Holy Spirit that was given in the New Testament somehow changed. You'd never think that the prayer offered in faith would no longer heal the sick. You wouldn't think that. I'm not demeaning the views of those who are cessationists. Again, I honor you and the Lord as fellow workers in Jesus. Some of the godliest people I know, I'll repeat it, are cessationists. Some of the godliest people I know are sick. We're not dividing over this. We're simply saying, what does Scripture say? Not what does my experience say, but what does Scripture say? As I have in the lengthiest chapter in the Authentic Fire book, Sola Scriptura, and therefore charismatic. I base my views on what Scripture says, which is why I believe in the continuance of the gifts for today. All right, let me get to one last call. Scott in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. What's your scriptural argument, sir?
Well, I hate to present it. I want to remain your friend, but...
We're friends. Don't worry about it. We're friends.
You probably remember, I don't need to look this up probably, you remember in somewhere around Timothy where it says, God, it might be Thessalonians, where God gave them a spirit of deception, strong deception, so that they would believe it.
Yeah, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, here's exactly what Paul writes there. And notice very carefully, okay, he's speaking about those that will follow the Antichrist. And he says this, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false. So these people reject the gospel. And because they reject the gospel, God gives them over to a delusion to believe that which is false.
Well, there's one more place I was going to mention. I didn't look it up either. And it says in Revelation, in the very last couple of chapters, it says there will be a place in the lake of fire for liars and all those who love to live a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder sometimes, I obviously was not taught to believe in these miraculous things, but most people stick to what they were taught. But the idea that there is a lie that people can love and be disqualified scares me too, you know.
Well, maybe, all right, let me make this clear, Scott. I'm not saying that cessationists are not saved. I am not saying it. I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it. I don't think it for a split second, because what saves us is not our view of the gifts of the Spirit. What saves us is receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord, turning from our sin through Him and living a new life in God. But if the Holy Spirit continues to work wonders in the earth, if Jesus continues to be glorified through the gifts of the Spirit, if God's love continues to be manifest through those things, then the lie would be to deny that. So you want to be careful not to believe any lie. You don't want to believe a lie that says, follow me, when it's false and counterfeit. You don't want to believe a lie that says God's not moving when he clearly is moving. Remember, it is a serious sin and error to reject the Spirit, just as it's a serious sin and error to pursue false signs, wonders, and miracles. The fact they're false signs, wonders, and miracles indicates that there are true signs, wonders, and miracles, just like the fact that there's false Christ indicates there's a true Christ. The fact there are false teachers indicates there are true teachers. What you want to do, Scott, say, Father, I want everything you have for me. I want everything you have for me. Remember what he says, if you ask your Father for bread, he won't give you a stone. So I send you back to Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. And then also read Luke 11, 13 and say, Father, I want everything you have for me so I can best glorify you and I can best touch a lost and dying and hurting world. Hey, thank you for the call. All right, 2 hours of opportunities now, 4 hours of opportunities, 2 whole shows without a single call yet, without any explicit scripture, even hinting at the idea that what scripture says explicitly should continue, we'll see. So I just want to encourage you, don't base things on experience. Don't base things primarily on what you've been taught up to now. Examine everything based on scripture and ask yourself, where does the Bible say that what is promised to continue will cease? Where does the Bible say to stop seeking the things that God told us to seek for his good, for our good, for the good of a dying world? Where did that change? Where did the nature of God, the nature of the Spirit, the nature of his power, where did any of that change? Friends, never did. And around the world, Jesus continues to pour out his Spirit. All right. We found out we're getting a shipment of books tomorrow, and I didn't know what the books were. This is a limited shipment before the book is released to the general public. We were shocked to find out that we're getting some advanced copies of my book, Hyper Grace, which is due out January 7th, which addresses really the great controversy in the body today, one of the great deceptions in the body today, where beautiful truth is mixed with serious error. We are numbering the first copies that we get, and then I'm signing them with a scripture, signing them to you individually. Your gift of $30 gets you a collector's item of Hyper Grace. It'd make a great holiday present, and that's what we just found out, that we'll have this advanced shipment before they're made available to the general public in January. So if you'd like me to sign it for someone else, for yourself, call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. 9978, or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. And when you're there, right on the homepage, you can order these. Again, these are numbered, signed copies of Hyper Grace before the book is released to the general public. My bottom line today, the last days outpouring continues because we're in the last days, and it's on all flesh. It's on all who call upon him. Expect more from above.